This is episode number 493 with Cassie DePeckel.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Mark Twain once said, "Travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness," and many of our people need it sorely on these accounts. Broad, wholesome, charitable views of men and things cannot be acquired by vegetating in one little corner of the earth all one's lifetime. Welcome to episode 493. We've got a great show for you today. I'm excited about this topic, about traveling the world. And our guest today is Cassie DePeckel. She is a world traveler, environmental activist, explorer, women's rights and peace activist, triathlete, entrepreneur, you name it, she's doing it. And in July of 2015, after a year and a half of planning, saving money, obtaining sponsors and endorsements, she launched on her expedition on a stage at a major public event called the World Domination Summit. And in 2017, at just 27 years old, she finished her journey, which was called Expedition 196, in a Guinness World Record time. And as of February 2017, she traveled to 196 countries alone as a female all over the world. And Cassie has some incredible stories to share and lessons that she learned while traveling the world alone. But first off, we talked about what Cassie learned while being on the TV show Naked and Afraid. Also, how she handled running out of money only 6 months into her 18-month expedition, and how she stayed on track to complete her goal even when it looked like she wasn't able to. Why committing to your goal is so crucial to achieving it. The biggest lessons that she learned about herself while traveling the world alone, and the power of making your own choices instead of listening to other people make them for you. This is going to be a big one. If you've ever traveled the world or any parts of the world, you know how meaningful it is and what actually opens up to you and the awareness that you bring into your own life when you come back home. And for those who haven't traveled much, then I urge you to listen and explore this in your own way. So let's go ahead and dive into this episode number 493 with Cassie DePeckel.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
When you visit a state as big and diverse as Texas, there are a million different trips you can take. Let's say you've got an appetite for whitewater kayaking. You can get your own,
"So this is why they call it Devil's River,"
trip to Texas. Or maybe you have an actual appetite. "I'll take a pound of brisket, 6 ribs, 3 links of sausage, and a piece of pecan pie." Trip to Texas. Go to TravelTexas.com/get your own for the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. Very excited about our guest, Cassie DePeckel, in the house. Good to see you. How are you?
Thanks for having me. Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm excited you're here because you've done something no one else on this show has done, except for maybe Chris Guillebeau, but I'm not even sure if he's done what you've done. But you've been to 196 countries. I didn't even know there are 196 countries, first off, in the world, but then not all of them are countries, or they're something else, or what? What are they
called? Sovereign nations.
Sovereign nations. Yeah. What is the difference between a sovereign nation and a country.
So they have a centralized government, monetary system, and they're kind of independent from other countries.
Right.
Like Puerto Rico is part of the States, so I didn't go to Puerto Rico, and same with Scotland's part of the UK, so I had to go to like London and Northern Ireland. And
So you didn't go to Puerto Rico.
I didn't go, yeah.
Because it's part of the States.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Got you. Now, you made this declaration, this announcement in 2015 at an event that I was speaking at called World Domination Summit.
Yeah.
And that you said you were going to go on this trip, right? And do 196 countries. And how long?
I said 2.5 years, but I knew that it was going to be a year and a half. But
really?
I was like, just in case
I get like kidnapped or I'm in jail or whatever.
Yeah, or someone's trying to beat my record. You know, I got to be a little bit careful with my...
You want to say 2.5, but actually...
Yeah.
And but, how long did you plan this out beforehand?
Yeah, so it took a year and 5 months to plan out the entire thing.
Wow.
I had to start off with just mapping it all out. And then I had to find the nonprofit endorsement, the supporters, the funding, then the visas, and the set up social media, the website, the branding, everything. It took a year and a half to really get it going.
How many visas did you get?
Oh, that's a question I don't think I can even... I mean, it must... Because there was visas kind of in advance and ones on arrival and...
Right.
I don't know. Maybe around 30, something
okay.
like that. 40.
Wow.
Yeah.
How much did the whole thing cost?
So it was... It was about $110,000 and...
To go to every country.
Yes.
That's not that bad when you think about it.
It's not bad. It could be a little bit more. It could be a little bit less because I kind of had to take take into account kind of the free hotels and flights
yes.
and everything that I got as well. So, but it was around that figure.
So the so that was not including the free stuff you got, the sponsored stuff.
I think that was including the free
got
stuff.
Got it. So if you went on every flight and paid for every hotel,
then that's kind of what the
that's
cost.
That's what it costs, 100 grand.
Yeah.
To see the world, that's not a bad ticket, you know?
Yeah.
100,000 for a world.
And you're on a budget too. Like I wasn't staying in.
Yeah, you're not staying at the Ritz-Carlton or whatever.
Yeah,
no. But you're not staying in a hostel either, right?
No. So it's kind of in between. A lot of Airbnbs, local bed and breakfasts, and
wow.
Yeah. So
now before this expedition and journey, you were doing door-to-door sales. Is that right?
Yeah, I was in DC, kind of going door-to-door, business to business, selling a cell phone service to people that just didn't want that.
They didn't want
it.
A mom.
Yep, spit in the face, like dead of winter in DC, you know.
That's the best lessons, though. You learn the most going door to door. I did door to door selling books.
You did?
For a guy that couldn't read. That was
really?
Kind of ironic. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I only did it for like a day and a half.
Really?
I was like, this is not for
me. Yeah. Oh, and you're on commission too, right? So
it's all commission. Yeah. And I was it was a struggle. It was like a college summer thing. And I was just like, there's no way.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
But you do learn a lot.
How long did you do it for?
I did it for 6 months.
That's
all I could hold out.
That's a long time.
Yeah. People
that's really
came
hard.
And went. It was one of those pyramid scheme things. So I didn't find out till after. And I went to get unemployment because I was like unemployed.
And they're like,
and
no.
then they couldn't even get a hold of them. Like,
oh,
you know,
wow.
they're like, yeah, we're still in business, but they weren't. It was,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, not a good situation.
Okay. So you're doing that. And then how did you come up with this idea to go on an expedition and why the expedition around the world?
So I will bring up the show that I was on just because it was.
We'll bring it up.
Yeah, it was.
So you came up with this during the show.
So one day after work, I was watching TV, my roommate's TV, and I saw a bunch of naked people running across the
TV like,
screen.
I want to be that person.
I was like, I need to be there right now. Like, I need to be in that situation. And so I filled out a casting application. It was for a Discovery show. And I just.
What was it called? Naked in the Jungle?
Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid.
Yeah, okay. You are afraid, you know.
You were terrified?
You were afraid.
Well, there's
afraid
camera people that aren't naked,
yeah,
right?
That's the weird thing. And they were all men, too. My first, like...
No way.
My first 10 days was all,
like,
even the camera guys.
Everyone. Sound people, they're all like, just take your clothes
off. Yeah, yeah.
And they're just watching
the
you all
boat.
Day?
Yeah.
That's weird, isn't it?
It was weird. It wasn't fun.
And they're like eating like sandwiches and hamburgers,
yeah,
and you're like...
Yeah, you know, they'd be having an egg salad sandwich, and I'm
no
like,
way.
Oh, yeah, now I gotta forge, and I can't forge. I mean... Be honest, I can eat like a coconut. Anyway, so the experience was I survived, but it was the best worst experience of my life up until that point. And afterwards, I didn't realize it's like when you sign those papers, like the hate could like really destroy you, or we're gonna edit you in a certain way to make you look a certain way.
Any way they want,
you know?
Sucks.
Yeah. They'd be like, "How'd that snail taste?" I'm like, "Well, I'm grateful to have a snail," you know. And then they'd be like, "But was it crunchy?"
Yeah,
was it?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, "Okay, it was a crunchy, disgusting snail," and it's, you know, like,
yeah.
So that's kind of how it went. And yeah, the aftermath of it, like the hate, I'm like, oh, am I really that terrible of a person? Am I really that selfish? Am I really what they're saying? And I'd never experienced that before. So I was like, you know what? I want to do something bigger than myself. And I want to pursue my dream of going to every country. That I'd always had this like dream of going to every country in the world since I did travel before, mm-hmm. before this expedition a little bit. And
so how old are you at this time?
I was 24. Yeah, 24. And I was like, you know, I got to make it happen. You know, I have to make it happen. So I moved out to LA for the weather. Like, yeah. Let's be honest.
Where you were living in DC, miserable. Yeah,
I was
cold.
Living in DC. Yep. Then I drove across and I drove across in 3.5 days. I was like, I just booked it. I didn't have any money, you know, going off my savings. And right when I got to the last pit stop before my apartment that I had paid first and last up on Lake Arrowhead, I'm filling my tank and it stops halfway. I ran out of money. Like my debit card was out. I was like, okay, I think I can get up that hill up to Lake Arrowhead. Okay. Wow. And I did. And at that point I was like, I never want to be in this situation again. And I have to make this expedition happen. So I started, like, I was babysitting full time, 2 jobs, 85 hours a week for that like year and a half while I was planning
to
out
save
this
money
whole,
and planning. Yeah.
Yeah. I saved up about 10 grand during that time. But yeah, that was even really challenging, you know, like, you know, raising kids, and I myself don't want kids. So I was like, it's not like I'm furthering that part of my life either, really,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it was great. I mean, the kids were great and everything, but it was a lot of hard work, and I was really stressed out and trying to plan this whole thing and trying to find sponsors. I had no idea what that even was. So.
Wow. And so then you kind of realize, okay, I can make this happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you kind of were putting the pieces together. You're getting a sponsor here and there. You got like a flight sponsor. Is that right? You got some hotel sponsors, I'm assuming.
Yep.
What are all the sponsors you've got? Travel?
Yeah.
Hotels?
Cash, goods, and services. So some companies, you know, cash sponsorship, some were services, travel services, like insurance, that sort of thing. And then goods like flights and hotels and stuff. And yeah, I had no idea what a sponsor was, and I didn't know where to go. I looked at people like Michael Phelps, and I was like, how does he get a sponsor? You know,
he's the best in the world, and he's got a massive audience.
How is he like promoting these brands, and what does that even mean? So yeah, it took committing to the idea. Like, I don't think people realize like the amount of commit, you have to fully commit to in order to make something like this happen. You can't just be like, yeah, we'll see if I can get a sponsor. It's like once you have to commit yourself, then you have to go after it like 110%. It's got to be like living, breathing, like your whole life, you know, and that's how you're going to make it happen.
It's almost, I tell people sometimes, like if your life was on the line for your dream, like and they had a gun to your head in 30 days, you had to get a sponsor or you were dead.
Yeah.
I guarantee you'd figure out a way to get that sponsor. You know what I mean? Or you'd figure something out.
Exactly.
If your life was on the line.
Yeah.
But I think people don't want it enough sometimes. Yeah. They're like, like you said, unless you're 110% in, it's like if you're half in, you're not going to go all.
Yeah.
You're not going to go after it. So, so you've got all these sponsors.
Yeah. And I didn't get all of them to fund the whole trip. So I had just enough. And then by the time when I left at the summit, I was like ready to go. And then, you know, at that point I had about 10,000 saved up from my babysitting jobs. Cause I just like had no social life for that year. Right. And let's just be honest. I was like drinking a bottle of wine in my apartment alone most nights, you know, I had to save as much as possible. And so, yeah, I had that. Then I had a few sponsors to kind of get me going through the first like 6 months. And I was like, they'll come, I'll be in the media, and then they'll start coming along, you know, big mistake, you know? So about 6 months in, I was, I don't know, maybe about 40 or so countries in at that point. It was January. I ran out. Like I ran out dry, you know, and I had these sponsors, these commitments. And I was like, you know, I had to come back home to Connecticut. I didn't tell anyone. I was like, I'm going to have to like quit, you know, like this is extremely embarrassing. I can't tell anyone I'm coming home. Like, so I didn't, you know, only my parents knew. And I was like, what am I going to do? They're like, you gotta keep pushing. My dad especially is like, you gotta push. You gotta do what you were doing and do it now like 110% again. And so I did in those 2 weeks. I I was able to rack up enough to get going. I was like, you know what? I can't stop. Now I got to just keep this going throughout. It's not like, you know, I got to keep, you know, going on LinkedIn, reaching out to CEOs, sending my pitch, my deck, my proposal, like every single morning so that I can continue to obtain funding to cover the rest of this trip.
So what would you do? You just reach out to CEOs and say, hey, can you give me $1,000 or?
Oh, yeah. I wish it were, you know, I wish it were that easy. But that did work once.
Sure.
Well,
yeah.
It was for flights. It was like the CEO of Air New Zealand. And I was like, we want to, you know, sponsor my trip. And he's like, oh, sure, you know, but that was a fluke thing.
Right. And what are these people getting in return from, you know, them helping you out?
Yeah. So, of course, the media, when I finished, I think they saw that. But it was a huge risk for them to take. You know, I'm a woman traveling alone. Who knows what's going to happen? In their mind, it was a huge risk. But I was filming an educational documentary. And that, from the beginning, was something that I decided to commit to. And they wanted to be seen in that, you know, like for a cause, you know, a cause documentary. And they saw kind of like, all right, we'll contribute, you know, biting their tongue.
Right.
Taking a risk. But it's paid off. And I think now they see that. And I still have strong relationships with a few of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
But
so you were just, you just kept emailing people and reaching out and they would, mm-hmm. What would get them to kind of like support you then?
You know, actually, I got to say, so networking is huge. And before I left on my expedition, the International Institute of Peace Through Tourism was the organization who endorsed my expedition, not financially, but they connect me to a lot of people. And I went to their symposium in Johannesburg 6 months before I left, and I met a lot of people there. I met Naomi King and Nandi Mandela, Nelson Mandela's granddaughter, and Martin Luther King Jr.'s sister-in-law. And it was like a huge peacemaking event. And that's where I really met a lot of influential people, and the King of Spain was one of them.
Wow.
And, but that's they're kind of like, let me connect you to this person. So I ended up attending the World Travel and Tourism Council Summit, and that was a big kind of like the jackpot for me for finding sponsors.
Really?
And I was just there for the third year in a row. 2 weeks ago I was in Bangkok. But there it's like you have the CEO of Expedia, of Airbnb, of you know, cruise line, you know, everything. And so I'd kind of dress up, you know, get a decent outfit, give them my pamphlet with my face on it.
Sure,
this
sure.
is what I have to offer. And just like guerrilla marketing, you know, and that's how I was able to get a lot of my sponsors.
So you got them through that event.
I depended on that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Every year.
Crazy. So every flight was taken care of.
Oh, no.
You had to pay for a lot of these
things. Yeah, I had to pay for a lot
of
flights. Yeah.
But you got cash from people to pay for it, too.
Yeah, I did.
So
I did.
Essentially, it was paid for.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. And I used like credit card, you know, that I got the
point
Chase.
Deal.
Yeah. I tried to get into that. It wasn't really that easy.
The like thing. Travel hacking thing. It's kind of hard, right?
It is. So
you're always opening a new credit card and always
I would like email Chris. I'm like, Chris, but I didn't want to ask him too much, you know?
Yeah.
Give away his secrets for free. But I was like, oh, I got to figure this out on my own. I never really did. But.
So what was the whole vision then? Was it to promote like traveling alone as a woman? Was it to promote education? What was promote going after a dream? Was it like promote doing the impossible and making it possible? Was it to break a world record?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was the real mission?
That's the question, I think, to this. No, so it was to break a Guinness World Record. And become which was the fastest person to travel to every country, every sovereign nation. And that was actually kind of led to the women's achievement aspect of it, because 6 months in, Guinness Records emailed me and said, we're breaking the record category up into two separate ones. So female and male, females get 4 years to break the record and males get 3 years to break the record. I'm like, why do women need more time to travel?
Interesting.
More lung capacity, maybe? I don't think so. You know, this.
Wow, it's funny.
So I didn't agree with that. So I was like, you know, I fought that like till the very end. And finally they're like, okay, you know, we will have still the fastest person, but then you'll get another category as well. Fastest female. So I had two or whatever. And then it just came down to the women's achievement aspect. My dad was like, you're a woman, you know, and you're traveling alone to these places. You should really be talking about that more. And I'm like, I never thought of myself as, I mean, I know a woman, but I never was really into like women's rights and everything. I just kind of lived my life and I wasn't that educated on it, you know? So I thought maybe going into like Saudi Arabia or promoting women's rights wasn't something I should do, because I wasn't really educated on it or informed that well.
Yeah.
But I started educating myself on it, and that's I started getting passionate about women's achievement, promoting more women's achievement, women's empowerment. And then the sustainability aspect of it, so promoting peace through sustainable tourism. So just, you know, I can break it all apart, but my goal was to promote peace through sustainable tourism and women's empowerment through breaking 2 Guinness World Records and becoming the first woman on record to do so.
Got it.
That's that.
There you go. Got it.
Yeah.
And what were some of the most unsafe places you went to then that you thought maybe weren't going to be that bad but actually were, and the places that you thought were going to be bad that actually weren't?
Yeah. So I would say one country that I didn't think was going to be that bad was probably Somalia. And I was like, should I go to Somaliland? Which is obviously, it's an okay place to go. They're pretty peaceful actually right now. But I was like, no, I'm going to go into Mogadishu and like have the real experience of Somalia. And so, and that place was pretty bad. Probably
alone
the worst.
As a woman, was it like scary? Were you like turning your head left and right everywhere?
It's just, you have to take an armored vehicle to go two minutes to the hotel.
What? And from like the airport?
Yeah, and the hotel. I was like, I'll just walk there. I'll walk to the
hotel. And
they're
like, no way. You're kidnapped and dead.
Yeah. They're like, no, we have to. And we have to have a truck behind you and in front of you with guards with machine guns. And
what?
Everything.
Just to get to the hotel?
Yes. I was like, wow. I didn't even get that in Afghanistan and Kabul and Syria and any of the other countries I've been to.
I'm surprised they even just let you in then. Why would they even?
I know. I don't.
What's the point if there's that much of a risk?
Yeah, exactly.
If they have to spend that much money just to escort you.
I know. And they're so humble. They actually sponsored me. I was like, you know, and they're called the Peace Hotel too. So I think they just really appreciated, you know, what I was trying to promote. And then they took me around and they're like, okay, we can get out now. Okay. There's something weird over there. You know, it was very like, you know, you're on your toes, you know. And then, you know, Kabul wasn't really, I thought Kabul was going to be worse, but it really wasn't, you know. I mean, just covered up and walked around and I talked to some guys on the street, you know, filmed them. Asked
fully
them
covered up.
I mean, I didn't wear the full burqa,
right?
But just the hijab.
Your face was exposed?
Not even, the face was exposed.
But everything else was covered up, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not allowed to go around exposed. And then
you cannot, yeah.
The face is okay.
The face is okay. Yeah. Yeah.
What happens if you were exposed? Like your arms or like your, you know, your knees below or something?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You didn't test it.
I don't know if I want to try that. I'll leave that up to someone else. I mean, I wouldn't want to do that. You want to respect their culture.
Of course.
You know? I mean,
of course.
And that's really important, especially as a woman. You want to go and respect. So when I was actually heading into Saudi Arabia, I thought I had to wear the full burqa, like, you know, only the eyes to be seen. And so I was putting on the hijab and wearing my abaya and on the plane. And the women were like, no, it's okay. It's okay. You
don't really?
I was like, all right. So I had my hair down like this and just this long abaya kind of thing.
And they were like, it's cool.
And that was fine. Yeah, that was fine. So, yeah.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. So listen, we all know life is full of yada yada, like those quote unquote free trials that somehow still charge your card for something, or when companies have those sneaky gotchas hiding deep in the fine print. And I know you've dealt with yada yada before, like those bills that keep going up and up for no reason at all. Or when budget airlines promise a cheap fare, but then charge you for every little thing until you realize you're paying more than you would have somewhere else. And yes, it is possible to outsmart yada yada, like triple checking airline deals to make sure all you need is already included, but you don't take yada yada in life, so don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Metro by T-Mobile has no contracts, no credit checks, no surprises, and nada yada yada. Stop by one of over 6,000 Metro stores nationwide.
When you visit a state as big and diverse as Texas, there are a million different trips you can take. Let's say you've got an appetite for whitewater kayaking. You can get your own.
So this is why they call it Devil's River.
Trip to Texas. Or maybe you have an actual appetite. I'll take a pound of brisket, 6 ribs, 3 links of sausage, and a piece of pecan pie. Trip to Texas. Go to TravelTexas.com/get-your-own for the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.
Powerful. What's
kind of crazy?
So where did you go into it expecting, and then what did you come out of it learning?
Okay. So I think what I expected was, number one, I'd die in a plane crash.
You thought that was going to happen?
I thought it was really, that was going to be my demise.
Really?
Yeah. Of everything. Why? I don't know. I kind of had a
so many
flying.
Flights,
yeah.
And you're like, what are the odds? You know?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
How many flights did you take?
A little over 250. I stopped counting.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. It's like 20,000 trees.
And what consisted of how much time in a country did you have to spend for that to count?
Yeah. For me, okay, so for Guinness, you had to get your passport stamped and leave the airport.
That's it.
So yeah.
So you could have left and walked back in.
Yeah, and I did that in a few places, about 10 to 15 places. Wow. Like, I'm not going to lie, you know, and it came down to budgeting too. It's not like I can really. Tuvalu. Okay, the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and you know they had a flight coming in. Their next flight leaving wasn't for until the following week, and they have like 2 hotels on the islands. They're like $200 a night, and I'm like, I can't be here for like a week waiting for the next for $200 a night. I mean,
so you went out for like ten minutes, or you just kind of
I circled right around. You know, yeah, went out for 10 minutes, came back in, and
so you like looked around and like,
yeah,
see you later.
Got a photo, got my GPS, got my proof, and then scooted out. And that happened in like 10 to 15 countries. You know,
you got to hack it a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, what's the country you stayed the longest in intentionally, not because of like, I didn't have the visa or some, you know, hiccup?
Yeah. So according to Guinness with the regulations, I wasn't able to spend more than 14 days in a country either. So I kind of had that limitation. Mm. So I spent about 2 weeks in Russia, in St. Petersburg. And I also was a good week in Pakistan and a good week in Mongolia.
Because I'm sure some of these places you wanted to like explore, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have to go back again.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
Might as well enjoy the process, not just like check it off a list, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so I had to pick and choose, you know, I really wanted to be in the Mongolian wilderness, like for my birthday. So I was able to get sponsored by this yurt camp, and there was no cell phone reception, no Wi-Fi, like no one was even staying there till my last day. So I was really alone for that full week and in the wild, and there was a little husky dog who followed me around, and we went on hikes, and like that was really one of the most memorable times on my expedition, just because it was so like peaceful.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What's the biggest lesson you learned about yourself on the journey?
I think, you know, so to never judge anyone and to be completely open-minded. I think when I went into this, I was definitely a much more selfish person, I'd say. And I didn't really have a complete understanding about the world and religions and everything. And so this expedition really opened up my eyes to be more humble towards all people, cultures, ethnicities, genders, you know, everything, and cultural differences as well. And to really not just accept, but appreciate and learn someone's story, not just go there and kind of talk about the weather, but learn their story and learn where they come from and what makes them happy. And that's one thing I realized on this trip too, is how kind really everyone is around the world. We see all this negative stuff on the media and in the news, but at the end of the day, everyone just wants to help one another, and they just want a hot plate in front of them. They want a roof over their head. They want a loving family. And that's just a universal thing that everyone wants. And so I've learned to just really appreciate people more in general and becoming less judgmental, more accepting.
Mm. Right. Wow. Yeah. That's cool. And is there one person you met that really stood out?
Ooh, I've been asked that a couple times, that it's so hard to kind of to think about that one.
But maybe shifted your perspective on something in life, or opened you up to a different way of thinking.
Yeah. Oh man, that's actually a good question. There are so many people that really. I would say there's someone I met in Syria, actually. And this is most recently, and she was my age, and we were sharing a taxi, and she said goodbye to her sisters And I didn't know they were her sisters, but she was like, I saw her, I was sitting in the back. I saw her kind of tearing up in the front rear view mirror. And I asked her, you know, who were they and what was that about? And she said, well, she's 27. She's leaving her sisters. She's leaving Syria for the first time. This was in Latakia. And she's going to go be with her husband, who's a refugee in Germany. Wow. And the next day I was going to go into Yemen alone. And she was about to get on her first ever flight, you know, to go to some foreign country, Germany. For her, that was a big deal, you know.
And, absolutely.
And for me, going to Yemen was a big deal. So it didn't matter, you know, where we were from. It didn't matter our religion, anything at that time. But what we connected, we both knew the universal word of love, you know. And she's like, I love you. And I was like, you know, it was just this moment that I'd never really had that sort of moment on the expedition until then. Mm-hmm. And it was just, yeah, it was really special and really eye-opening. And yeah, so she definitely changed me a lot.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. What do you say to people about who don't think they're allowed to go after their dreams or allowed to go after something crazy or mm-hmm. some expedition or journey mm-hmm. because maybe they don't think they have the resources that they're not capable of, mm-hmm. you know, maybe all the things that maybe you were struggling with at one point of like mm-hmm. tackling this journey. What would you say to people who are mm-hmm. trying to do something more?
You know, you own your life, right? And it's hard to act on something you want to do when, you know, especially if you're under your parents' roof or people all around you are telling you can't do something. But at the end of the day, you own your life and you know your truth more than anyone else. You're born alone, you know, you die alone. I mean, just thinking of the scientific aspect of it, you know, and you know what you go through in your life. You can achieve anything that you set your mind to. You know what you can do and you own your life. And at the end of the day, you have to think about that. We're here for such a short period of time, you know, a few years in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
And you just have to take advantage of these moments and pursue your own life in that way, your own path.
So how do you feel after now, you know, a year and a half or 2 years almost? How do you feel after, and are you able to travel with a sense of like relaxation now or more of like, I don't know, a different sense or, and what are you focused on now? What's the vision moving forward?
So I'm tired now.
Yeah, it's a lot of travel, a lot of plane rides.
Yeah. But right now it's actually great because everyone's like, what's next? I hate that question.
I mean, it's the worst.
You know, what's exciting for me right now is focusing on my career.
Which is what?
And, you know, speaking engagements, kind of furthering this message of, you know, promoting peace through tourism, women's achievement all over the world on a grander scale, you know, through speaking, through branding, through starting my own nonprofit. Completely offsetting my carbon footprint by 2020 through my nonprofit, you know, finishing up the book, the documentary. So it's kind of working on my career, but working to address, you know, three or so of the UN Sustainable Development Goals and helping people pursue their own projects aiming to address one of the UN Sustainable Development Goals. Because I think we all, you know, entrepreneurial or not, we get into these career fields and, you know, for money, obviously, to survive. But we can also focus on enhancing our world. Mm-hmm. And I think the UN Sustainable Development Goals is a great guideline to doing so. I mean, starting little projects or going abroad and doing so. And so I think people just really need to focus on that in their careers. That's at least what I'm trying to to educate, at least.
That's cool.
Through my mission.
Very cool. Yeah. Awesome. Was there anything you wish you want to share more of before I get to the final few questions? Anything you think would be meaningful to share or valuable for people to understand about the world or your travels? Or
yeah,
if anyone wants to go on their own trip, any advice you'd give for them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would just say you really have to study your mentors, people who inspire you. Not follow in their footsteps, but study them and know them and know how they got to where they are. And kind of take tips and tricks from like where they've, you know, the lessons they've learned, their failures in order to create your own success.
Right.
And be 100% passionate about it, 100% committed to it. And you'll make it happen.
Cool. Well, a couple final questions for you. Where can we learn more about you online? Where can we connect with your message and everything you're talking about, your nonprofit?
Yeah. So the nonprofit will be up hopefully later this year. Cool. But doing actually Google Expeditions, kind of educating people on what I did through that, through Google Expeditions. So I'm working on that course now. It should be out in the summer. Cool. But CassieDePeckle.com if you want to learn about my project, Expedition196.com. And then, of course, I'm on social media, Instagram, Cassie DePeckle on Facebook, and cool. Cassie DePeckle elsewhere.
Cool. Awesome. So, yeah. Cool. Well, before I ask the final couple of questions, what are you most grateful for?
My health, because I don't think I'd be able to do any of this if it weren't for my health.
Yeah.
And I think I have my parents to thank for that, for raising me healthy. yeah, I think it stems from health, and that's something I'm really passionate about as well. So
that's cool. Yeah. You seem fit, seem healthy. Well, and you probably wouldn't be able to go on a journey like that if you're unhealthy. I mean, you probably need to keep up with it. Yeah.
I was only sick once, which I think was shocking.
That's powerful.
It's shocking.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
you probably take a million shots, huh?
God, you gotta get all those vaccines. That's crazy. Otherwise, you're.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Want to acknowledge you for a moment for your incredible courage to go on a journey like this alone, even though maybe it didn't seem like it was very courageous for you. But I think for a lot of women, it's probably, you know, something they would never think about, going to every country alone. So to be an example and to really like say, hey, you can do this, and here's what is possible, and here's what you need to look out for, and don't do it blindly, but you did it and you accomplished your dream and your goal. I think it's powerful. So
yeah, thanks,
acknowledge
Lewis.
You
I
for
really
that.
Appreciate
yeah.
it. Thanks.
This is called the three truths. So if there is three things you could share with the world about all your lessons you've learned from the naked TV show to the journey around the world to childhood to everything you've ever done, and you could just share three truths. What would your three truths be? Three lessons.
Okay. I would say embrace failure. Okay. Number one. Use fear as fuel to your inner fire. Whether that's like fear from hatred online or from an experience, use that as fuel to pursue your own passion and to really pursue it big. Mm-hmm. And of course, embrace your failures. And then, I would just say, learn someone's story.
Mm.
Be respectful, be accepting of people, and learn their story and be completely open-minded towards humanity.
Oh,
what they
cool.
have to offer.
That's
to offer.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Final question is, what's your definition of greatness?
Let's see. I think this is going to sound really cheesy, but being humble towards others and embracing your own successes, don't depend on others to tell you whether or not you've succeeded or not. It could be something big. It could be something small, but embrace the work that you've put into something, embrace your own successes and just to be really humble towards other people.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cassie, thanks so much for coming
on. Thanks, Lewis. I appreciate
it.
Thanks.
There you have it. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Cassie. If you did, make sure to share it with your friends. LewisHowes.com/493. Tweet me out. Say hi to me there. Tag me on Instagram Story. I'm always replying to people over on Instagram Story. Post it on your Instagram feed. Let me know what you think. Have you explored the world? Is this making you think more about traveling alone, even if you've been afraid? Make sure to share with me in the comments, on the show notes, or on social media. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. We've got some big episodes coming up. We're almost coming up on the 500th episode. What would you guys like to hear or have me talk about on episode 500? Let me know over on Instagram or Twitter, or message me online, wherever you'd like to message me. Tell me. 500, almost at 500 episodes. It's hard to believe. But I'm so grateful we're almost there, because you guys make me want to continue to find the best information, the most inspiring individuals in the world to show us how to unlock the greatness within us. Let me know your thoughts at Lewis Howes on social media. I love you very much. And you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
when you visit a state as big and diverse as Texas, there are a million different trips you can take. Let's say you've got an appetite for whitewater kayaking. You can get your own.
So this is why they call it Devil's River.
Trip to Texas. Or maybe you have an actual appetite. I'll take a pound of brisket, 6 ribs, 3 links of sausage, and a piece of pecan pie. Trip to Texas. Go to TravelTexas.com/get-your-own for the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Exco, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona.
And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Exco, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.